Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Malcolm Jackson, Assistant Administrator of the Office of Environmental Information and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Ken Beecher. Malcolm, from an IT operations perspective, how have you sought to improve project management discipline and structure? And what are some of the steps you've taken to instantiate better process discipline tools and best practices in this area?
Well, effective project management is the cornerstone of any IT organization. It's something that I recognize. I come from a background where PMOs were critical to the success. I've done large-scale project implementations and required a strong project management office. Within EPA, though, we did not have a PMO. And what we've just done is created our first project management office, and we have one person who is managing a large-scale initiative that covers the entire organization. And I want to touch on just one point. There's a bit of what I would call misnomer around project management, or rather project management office and projects or a project manager. When I talk about a project management office, it's an individual or an office that's managing an initiative that has multiple projects underneath it. Given the size of EPA and initiatives and the historical perspective of silos that existed. And as you think about it, as we're looking to move toward one EPA, one agency approach, this is the right time to institute a project management office, because we want to begin to develop and institute project management best practices within our agency. So that is a backdrop. We created a PMO office, and what we're doing now is developing the business processes around that and working with other offices within the agency to kind of align their work around major initiatives. This is something that's going to take a bit of time to get there. Change is not easy. That's not news to anyone I know. But I think we have a good individual leading it. I think we're learning from others. As I said, all great ideas don't come from EPA. So we're reaching across within our federal family partners. We're reaching across even within the private industry, looking for best practices, looking for templates, and looking for ways in which we can craft this model that works best for an EPA environment.
Yeah, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about analytics, Malcolm. The number and diversity of EPA programs require a full range of analytical techniques and approaches to manage them effectively. Therefore, increasing the use of analytics and enhancing the analytic capabilities of your office is critical. Would you elaborate on current efforts to strengthen analytic capabilities and maybe provide some examples?
Well, Ken, analytics is critical to any organization that has a large amount of data. As you think about the data collection components of what we do within EPA, we collect data from all of the states. We collect data from various cities and municipalities. And we take all that data and we try and shape it in a way that makes sense for people to make decisions on. We recognize that this is difficult. But we've gone a long way, and I believe in helping to advance the agency from that perspective. We believe that maps is one way of helping people to better interpret this information. So recently, just this past year, we launched our EPA geospatial platform. EPA has been involved in geospatial for years, but we've had siloed approaches with geospatial. So our regions, various regions, all had geospatial environments. Some of our program offices had geospatial environments. But what we're doing now is moving toward one geospatial repository, and we view this as a way of building collaboration. We view this as a way of sharing of information. We view this as a way of helping to move our organization in a direction where we're more collaborative, and you get to a better outcome because you have inclusion from a variety of different folks. And the analytical aspects of it, I think we're just beginning to touch on. Clearly, we've got the maps. I mean, we refer to this as our maps store. But I actually believe we're just beginning to touch on the possibilities here. I'm having conversations with a number of other federal agencies around how do we take this from just an agency perspective. So EPA has its own geospatial environment, but USDA has one. So does energy. So what we want to do is move toward more of a federal geospatial analytical environment where we begin to share information more publicly from an analytical perspective.
Right. So this is an interesting transition. So we're going from analytics to collaboration now. And I love the term beyond the walls, right, that you may have coined earlier, or I know you spoke earlier about, right? You know, would you elaborate on your efforts to enhance and foster successful information sharing across the EPA community? So we talked about cities, states, universities, companies. What type of tools and techniques are you using to foster this collaboration?
Well, I look at collaboration in two ways. One is there's the internal aspects of collaboration, and I actually think there's opportunities for us to do enhanced collaboration. We're looking at different ways of doing that today. I actually strongly believe that the way people worked in the past and how they were effective in the past may not work for us in the future because there's less resources. There's way more information. And so how do you build these communities of collaboration? And I also believe that as you look at your workforce, you need to begin to retrain your workforce and help them understand the possibilities and the benefits of collaboration. So some of the things we're doing, as I mentioned earlier, around the geospatial platform, that's a collaboration. We've got the repository in place. Now we've got a plan to begin to move all of our regional offices and our program offices to one common repository. And we're creating communities within that geospatial platform, communities where you can share maps, communities where you can get engaged and involved with topics that might interest you. But that centers around the geospatial side of it. I think this is a good first step of this. Something else that we're beginning to do that I think will also help us is begin to look at collaboration tools outside of geospatial. And this gets into knowledge sharing. This gets into creating communities of interest. We're in the early stages of this. We have a tremendous opportunity in front of us. I see a world where you begin to use tools in the right type of business model that helped enable people to be better, to be smarter, to learn from each other, and to help and to serve their own interests that they may have from an environmental perspective.
Today, rapidly evolving technology increases an organization's IT vulnerability footprint. Would you elaborate on your IT security efforts? And more specifically, what types of cyber attacks or cyber threats are you facing and the steps you've taken to mitigate those?
Well, we have put, within EPA, we put together a cyber office. So we have a chief information security officer who was one of the first major hires I made coming into my role because I recognized the importance of cybersecurity and wanted to emphasize it within, or I'd rather amplify it within the agency. Cybersecurity is owned by everyone. It's everyone's responsibility. This is something that's not just the responsibility of one person, the chief information security officer or the chief information officer. This is something that needs to be owned by the entire agency. And our approach to this is around the policies and procedures that we're in the process of putting in place, the tools, the monitoring tools that we have in place. But in addition to that, which I think is just as important, is around education and awareness of cybersecurity. Just what does it mean when you have a threat or an incident? How do we respond to those incidents? How do we ensure that we're protecting our IT assets, our information, to ensure that it's not getting out to the wrong people and that we are ensuring that we're meeting the needs of our mission as a whole? Your specific question around particular threats and things of that nature, I'd actually rather not go into that because it's the reality is you don't want to play your cards.
Yeah.
How I would phrase it is, or view it rather, is that we want to ensure that we're protecting our assets to the appropriate level. We want to make sure that our employees are aware of what we mean by cybersecurity, and we want to make sure that they're educated and they help us in protecting our assets as a whole.
Well, I'd like to talk about another asset, and it's the folks that make you successful. It's the staff. And in an era of fiscal constraint, it's critical that an agency leader act with strategic intent and keep their workforce motivated. Reflecting on your leadership, how have you done that? How have you kept folks focused on the mission, the important mission of EPA, and kept them motivated in the face of sometimes dramatic, painful change?
The word you just used, change. Change is something that's going to always happen. It's always, it changes, if you wait a few minutes, it's coming. How I approach change is I embrace it. Now, around the whole question around motivating our staff and giving these difficult times, I really focus on communicating the value that federal employees bring to the American citizens, the job that they do and how it aligns with the mission that we have as a whole. I do that through multiple ways. I have multiple communication vehicles in which I use. I do coffees with the CIO, where I bring in small groups of our employees and we sit down and talk about matters that may be on their mind. I also do a blog. I blog what things that internal blog. I blog what things that we're working on, things that I'm involved in. So people are aware of the things that I'm either interested in or things that I'm working on, because there's a huge interest in what I do and what I'm in and where I'm going and activities that I have on a day-to-day basis. The other one, other piece of this that I think is really critical is around building leadership skills at multiple levels within my organization. I had a leadership retreat where I brought all of my managers together, and we talked about leadership skills, and we're working on developing leadership norms. I want to be a model within EPA for leaders within EPA, and I want others within EPA to look at us as a model that they want to aspire to be. So we're working and spending a lot of time on developing leaders within my organization as a whole. And then finally, the other thing that I think is really critical is around addressing difficult matters head on. The difficult matters of just the negative press that may be out there around federal employees, the difficult matters of around pay freezes. Let's have a discussion about that. And let's not avoid it. And I tell people all the time, I'm willing to discuss any matter. I will tell you what I can tell you. And if I can't tell you, I'll tell you I can't tell you. But I just think it's very important to be visible. I think it's very important to be transparent as much as you can be. And I think it's very important to listen and listen very hard to employees so that they understand that you know what they're going through.
Yeah, that's important. And I wanted to get a sense of, to that end, how are you really focusing on ensuring that you have the most well-trained and highly effective and technical workforce?
Well, I actually, when I first came in the door, I signed within the first 6 months, we signed a talent management strategy that focuses on recruitment. It focuses on development. And I have a strong belief that if you focus on recruitment and development piece, the retention piece will take care of itself. So there's these three-legged stool there, but I think that my focus is on the first two. And what we've done is I have a quarterly meetings with my leadership team, and part of that is talking about just our people. I didn't go through my five priorities, but talent management was one of the priorities that I have. And I took a hard look at our organization as a whole. I wanted to understand the demographics of it in terms of age demographics, because over the next 5 to 10 years, I'm going to have a large number or expect to have a large number of employees exiting because they'll be at retirement age. And the thought there being that they more than likely could retire. So how do we begin to cross-train those employees? How do we begin to do knowledge sharing, this institutional knowledge that we have? So there's this balancing act of learning what employees have today and how they work today, as you also begin to build a path to the future around collaboration and changing how we work in the future. So these are things that we discuss openly within the management team, These are things that we discuss openly within our staff, because I want to be able to paint a picture as to where we are today and where do I see that we're going. And it's a bit fuzzy. I recognize that. But at least people get a sense of comfort in knowing that, one, we're thinking about it, two, that we have a plan for it, and as we learn more, as we know more, we will communicate that plan. And if we do it, and we do it in the right kind of way, I think that we'll have a workforce that's well-trained and well-positioned to support the mission of our agency.
What does the future hold for information technology within the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Malcolm Jackson, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.